All right, let's open our Bibles tonight, please, to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. The teenagers went out to visit Mrs. Beaver this afternoon. They were going to sing for her, but she had has fallen, and she's out at Carroll County Hospital. So if you would pray for Mrs. Beaver, please. I'm sure that family would appreciate that tremendously. All right, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Now, I am going to wrap this up. I am, but not tonight. But I am going to wrap this up. I got some other stuff I want to give you. But I just, I just can't stop when I keep getting stuff, keep seeing stuff. And, on the airplane, last week, I, was, reading, through this passage, and, something came to mind, and I want to share it with you. Tremendous chapter here, of course, and we've looked at this chapter many times, but I want to point out one little thing in the chapter that sort of hangs over the chapter, and then bring it into what we have learned and what we have been studying. I did not see it, but Pastor Campbell saw it, told me about it. And then somebody else the other day told me that they saw it on TV, on the news. Louis Farrakhan was on Fox News last week and basically said that the Mahdi is here. Did any of you see that? Any of you? Did anybody see it? Okay, you did? Good. And So they said he says that the Mahdi is on the earth, it's Louis Farrakhan. So I mean, enough said right there. It's Louis Farrakhan, but nonetheless, you say, Pastor, do you think that? Do you think America is convinced that of the danger of Islam? No, I don't think America is convinced, not even close. You say, well, I've had people say to me, well, I don't believe all that stuff, and my answer to them has been this: listen, I don't care whether you believe it or not. They do. They believe what I have taught you they believe. And I just find it amazing that it fits the template of the Word of God to a T. I just think that's amazing. And so I want you to realize from what I'm going to give you tonight that I honestly, sincerely believe the Lord's return is at hand. I really do. I am not a date setter. I'm not about to set any dates on this. No man knows the day nor the hour. That's the only thing we do not know, is the day or the hour. We know He's coming. The over and over and over and over in the Bible, 270 times in the New Testament alone. The New Testament tells us that Christ is coming again. So we know He's coming. We just don't know the day nor the hour. But the Lord Jesus said, when you see all these things, lift up your head, redemption draweth nigh. It's getting close. And we're seeing the signs everywhere we look. The Middle East is on fire. It is literally on fire. From Turkey all the way around the crescent, all the way around, it's on fire, and that to me is just it just makes the chill bumps rise up on my on my skin when I realize that what is happening here. Now, let me say one other thing, that when you, I don't know what news you watch, and it's none of my business what news you watch. And it doesn't matter what news you watch, because you're going to hear the same thing on all of them. Even some people on Fox are saying this. Some on Fox are saying the opposite. But some on Fox even are saying that what you have in the Middle East, and they bring these quote-unquote experts on. I don't know what qualifies them to be an expert, but they are considered experts on the subject. And what they're telling you is that this is a cry for freedom and democracy. Folks, do not believe that for a minute. That is not what's going on here. The Middle East is on fire. I want you to know the United States of America is on fire. And I'm gonna show you, explain something to you in about 20 minutes or so. And give you my take on what is happening and why it is happening. But you've got Wisconsin, you've got Ohio, you've got Indiana, you've got all over America. You've got states that are on fire. Now, why are they on fire? Well, they're on fire because you've got a bunch of radicals that are protesting over the spending cuts. And we all are fully aware that the spending for years in this country has been out of control. If you tried to do in your home what the government of the states, what California and New York and Illinois and Maryland and everybody else has been doing, if you tried to do in your home what the states are doing and what the federal government is doing, you'd be put in the loony bin because you wouldn't be able to get any money. You would borrow your maximum and then you wouldn't be able to pay it back, and somebody would tell you you can't borrow anymore, and then they come and throw you in jail for not paying your bills. All right, and that's what's going on in our country, and I want you to realize that the country, United States of America, is on fire. England is on fire. All of Europe is on fire. Greece. Everywhere you look, it's total chaos. Now, let me give you one other thing to think about. There are three major monotheistic religions on the planet. There is Judaism, there is Christianity, and there is Islam. In March 9th, 2011, today, you have all three crying that their Messiah is coming. That has never happened before. All three monotheistic religions. The Jews are looking for their Messiah. They realize that from Turkey all the way around, look here, from Turkey all the way around to Morocco, they realize that they are surrounded. And they realize that they are outmanned. They realize that their technology is superior to anybody else's. But collectively, they just don't have the numbers. And they know it. And they're scared to death. And the cry in Jerusalem, the cry at the Wailing Wall, is for the Messiah to come. It is being heralded throughout Judaism for the Messiah to come, because that, they know, is their only hope. They know it's just a matter of time before the Muslims attack them in mass. they know it. All right? Christians, we know there is a tremor going across the church. There is a sense that something is on the horizon, and the preaching is coming alive, and the soul winning efforts are coming alive. Yes, there's a lot of compromise. Yes, there's a lot that is sad. But Paul told Timothy that in the last days, perilous times would come. And when he started describing the perilous times, one of the things he talked about was the compromise. And listen, I don't think he's talking in 2 Timothy. I don't think he's talking about the world, the conditions of the world. I think he's talking about the conditions of the true church of the living God. And I never thought that I would live to see the day. I just didn't think it would happen. I think there's too much clear teaching in the Bible. And I thought that Dr. Rice and Dr. Hudson and Dr. Hiles and these men that went across the country challenging the preachers of America to stay straight and stay in the Bible and not to go contemporary, not to change Bibles, and not to join the ministerial association, and you know, not to let the world in the church. I thought that the warning had been sounded, but now these guys are off the scene. And in the last 6-7 years, we have seen so much compromise. I'm talking about our people. I'm talking about our men. I'm talking about guys that have stood in this pulpit and preached. And there is no way under the sun that I would have them back today, because they do not believe like they used to believe. And I mean, did you ever think that you would live to see the day when the guy that took Jack Hiles's place would say that this is not the perfect word of God? I never thought I'd live. I'm telling you, folks, we are seeing the compromise in a sad way. But there is an undercurrent that is sweeping the land, and I spoke with somebody. I'll tell you the whole story. I'll tell you the whole story when I can. But I spoke with somebody about all this Islam stuff, and I said, "You just sit and listen. You just listen. Don't say a word. I'm just going to talk, and you're just going to listen." And I started talking, and his eyes got this big. I mean, this big. And he looked at me and said, "Oh my goodness." I said, "I know. I know." And he said, "Why haven't we seen this?" Because it wasn't time for us to see this. It wasn't time. Now's the time to see it. And folks, we better wave the flag, because I don't think we got much longer. I would not be surprised to hear the trumpet sound. I really wouldn't. I would not be surprised. When I picked David Gibbs up from the airport 3 weeks ago, we were driving up the road, and he slapped me on the shoulder and said, "Well, what have you been preaching on?" And I said, "You ready for this?" And he said, "Yeah." And I told him. And he said, "That makes perfect sense. From when we got on the 695 until we got off of 795, I just spelled it out for him. And when we got off of 795, he looked over at me and he said, "You have got to put this in a book. You have got to put this and get it in our guys' hands." And I said, "Well, I know that, you know, but I'm not sure I know how to do it. I'm not sure I'm the authority to do it." And he said, "It doesn't matter who's the authority, and doesn't matter how you do it, just do it." The message needs to be out there. We are close, folks. That's my point. We are close. And we better be aware that what's going on in the world is not an accident. It is not an accident. What you are seeing happen all across this world with the progressive movement here under the watchful eye of George Soros and Barack Obama, the progressive movement in America, the communist and the socialist in Europe and in Africa and in Asia, and what you're seeing with this Islamic upheaval, this is not an accident. This is not just a casual affair of the affairs of the world happening without purpose. The devil is stirring things up. The devil is behind all of this because he knows that the stage is set. That he can't move. He cannot move until the church is taken out of the way. Now think of that. He cannot move until the church is taken out of the way. That's the only thing that's stopping him. Now look at the text. 2 Thessalonians 2. I'm not going to get done again.
When you get over your jet lag.
No, it had nothing to do with jet lag. No, this has just been brewing for 2 weeks. Look at verse 1. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the what? Coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him. In the first part, you have the return. In the second part, you have the rapture. Do you see it? In the first part, you have the return. In the second part, you have the rapture. Our gathering together unto him. Look at verse 2. That ye, the church of Thessalonica, that ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth, speaking of the son of perdition, the Antichrist, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he, as God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Now that's going to be during the tribulation period. Remember ye not that when I was with you, I told you these things. And now ye know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Well, boy, we're seeing that, aren't we? The mystery of iniquity. There's the spirit of godliness, and there's the mystery of iniquity. You remember I told you everything that God has, Satan has a counter for it. And so God has the spirit of godliness, and the devil has the mystery of iniquity. And he said the mystery of iniquity doth already work. No, that was 2,000 years ago. Paul said it's already working. That's 2,000 years. He wrote this 2,000 years ago. Not quite, but, you know, last 50 years. All right? 1950 years ago, Paul wrote this. And he said that the spirit of iniquity is already at work. It said, only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then, once the church is gone and the Holy Spirit with the church, and then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. So there's your second coming. All right, now, Now, watch verse 9. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan. The Antichrist is going to be doing the work of Satan. He's going to be Satan incarnate. All right? Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. And with all, what's the next word? Deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. I want to speak to you tonight on this question. Is Islam an accident? Is it an accident? All right, let's pray. Our Father, bless, help us tonight. I pray the Holy Spirit to guide and direct our thinking. And Lord, I pray that you will help us to piece together the words of Scripture and what is happening in our world today and realize that the day of the Lord is indeed at hand. And Lord, when we realize just how soon our Lord's gathering of the believers to himself really is, when we realize how near it is, Father, may it stir us to love you more and do all we can to reach others and to know and learn our Bible and, Lord, just to be as dedicated and as consecrated to the Bible and to the Lord's work as we can be. Lord, help us to see the urgency tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I'm going to tell you, my honest intent when I left here was to leave this discussion of Islam and move on to some other things. And I am going to do that soon. But I can't leave it just yet. Every day, the lead story on every newscast is what is happening in the Middle East. The headlines in every major newspaper is what is happening in some Muslim country. And I think it is strange that our country has this ban on drilling for oil, whether on our own soil or out on the continental shelf. I think it's strange that our government has this ban on drilling for oil and that these environmental tree-hugging green people have caused our country to be in the position that we are right now, where we cannot, by law, drill for oil, even though we have more than enough to take care of our country's needs for hundreds and hundreds of years. We have more than enough under our NASCAR tracks and our golf courses. We have plenty of oil. That's not the issue. The issue is our government has said that we cannot drill for the oil that we use. Instead of drilling for our own oil, we sit here now totally dependent upon people who absolutely hate us with a passion. Hugo Chavez has a drill in the ground about every 20 feet. And Venezuelans pay for gasoline. Of course, they don't have money to pay for gasoline, but if they had money, they are only having to pay what we used to pay back in the 60s per gallon. But instead of the United States drilling for our own oil, the liberal, progressive Democrat politicians and the bureaucrats down in D.C. Who do their evil bidding have us bound to buying oil that comes from the Muslim nations of the Middle East, who despise us because we support freedom, truth, and Israel. Now, why is that? Does that make any sense to you? Do you not think it's strange that the nations of the free world, North America, Europe, Australia, do you not find it strange that the nations of the free world are all dependent upon these 1.5 billion people on the planet who hate us? It just doesn't make sense. Something has done this. Something has led to this. And let me say that these 1.5 billion people that own all this oil and that ship all this oil and that sell all this oil just happen to be Muslim in their religion. That's kind of strange, isn't it? You say, well, it's a coincidence. But isn't it a very strange coincidence? I don't think it's a coincidence. They just happen to be Muslim, and they just happen to live in the Middle East, and they all just happen to share the exact same hatred and desire to see God's people, the Jews, destroyed off the face of the planet. Now, isn't it ironic? We have enough oil under our land to sustain us for hundreds and hundreds of years, but the tree-hugging wackadoodles won't let us drill for it. Instead, we have to depend upon the Islamic nations who hate us. Now, how do you suppose Satan has planned to include the world's 1.5 billion Muslims in his grand end-time lies and deceptions? How do you figure that he plans to use them? Did the devil fail to see or to foresee and strategize concerning this global spread of Islam that we're seeing today? You do realize that Islam is the fastest growing religion on the planet. Did the devil fail to foresee and strategize concerning this global spread? Or has Satan included the Muslims in his end time strategy? Yeah, the second one. Now, as I've said to you before, for as long as I've been saved, I have heard that the Antichrist is going to be a European. I have taught and been taught, and I have even taught that the great harlot of Babylon is the Roman Catholic Church that will be led by the false prophet. I've chased away more church members saying that than anything else I've ever said. And yet, when I read the Bible, whether Old Testament or New Testament, I don't read about Europe or any other nations or any nations in Europe. Instead, what I read is a list of names and countries that begin with Turkey in the north from Israel, Turkey, that swings around to include a vast array of nations that are today the oil-rich nations and that are today on the lips of every newscaster and that are today nations which form a natural crescent around the tiny little nation of Israel, where all the focus is when you get to the end of the Bible. And the point is, whether you are in the Psalms or whether you're in Isaiah or Jeremiah or Ezekiel or Joel or Revelation, it doesn't matter where you are reading in the Old Testament prophets or in the New Testament, When you're reading about Christ's second coming, it is always these nations who are identified and called by name. And what do these nations all have in common with each other? It is their Islamic religion. They are all Islamic nations without exception. Every nation in the Middle East today that is on fire is a Muslim nation surrounds, is one of the border nations to God's people, Israel. Now, consider the facts of how the world is today. All of us are fully aware that the Bible makes it very clear that the devil's plan for the last days, for the tribulation period, today, the last days, if I read my Bible right, we've been in the last days since Pentecost. Yeah, we've been in the last days since Pentecost. And all of us are fully aware that the Bible makes it clear that in the devil's plan for the last days, at least for the last 2,000 years, since John gave us the book of the Revelation, that what the devil is going to do during the tribulation period is raise up two men. One, an Antichrist. To a false prophet. And through these two, the devil will bring about his massive end time deception to the world. Do you think that it is a mistake or that it is just happenstance that the Muslims are there? Do you think it's a mistake? No. I don't either. Do you think the devil just woke up one day, oh, I don't know, say back in the 50s or the 60s, and looked at all the Middle Eastern nations and said, well, you know, looky here. It just so happens that there are about 1.5 billion people surrounding Israel. Wonder if there is any way I can use all those people in my plans to defeat God and to destroy God's people. No, I don't think that any of that, snuck. That's not a word, is it? I don't think any of that sneaked up on God or on the devil. I don't think any of it sneaked up on the devil. I think it's all a part of his plan. I think it always has been. Do you think that Satan has had nothing to do with the global spread of Islam? Do you think that it's just the natural evolution of things and that Islamic nations have surrounded Israel and that the world's superpowers and bastions for freedom, for right, for truth, and for equality have become so filled with corruption and liberalism and socialism and political correctness and humanism and debt that we are destroying ourselves from within like a cancer eating from the inside out? Do you think that's all just happenstance? No, sir. I don't believe it is. I mean, it could not have all just happened. Or do you think the devil has had his hand on how things have worked out? Do you think perhaps the devil has included the Muslim world in his end time strategy? Don't forget, folks, if God is truth, Islam cannot possibly also be truth. It cannot be. Either one or the other is true, and whichever is true, the other is a lie. It's just that simple. Now, we believe that God is true, and we believe that the devil is a liar. And the reason we believe that is because that's how our Savior characterized the devil. He said in John 8:44 that the devil is a liar, that he is a murderer, and he has been so from the beginning. And the point that I've been making is that Islam is the lie of the devil. And I truly believe that the primary vehicle through which the prophecies of God's word will be fulfilled and that God will show himself to be the true God is through his defeat of Islam at the Battle of Armageddon. I believe that with every fiber of my being. Somebody came up to me a couple of months ago and had this little book in their hand. And I said, and they were holding it up. I said, what is that? And they said, this is Rules for Radicals by Saul Alinsky. Rules for Radicals. And this fellow said, Pastor, I've never read anything that made me any more angry. And it's exactly what's going on in our country. So I got it and read it. Sure enough, they are following the playbook down in Washington, D.C. They're following the playbook in Madison, Wisconsin. They're following the playbook in Ohio and Illinois and Sacramento, California. Rules for Radicals. You know what it says in a nutshell? Here's what it says. It says that that in order for progressive utopia to happen, and they're not just satisfied with it taking place in America. You've heard this global stuff started 20 some years ago with the senior Bush. He was the first president that started talking about a global society. And I remember sitting on my couch in Joliet, Illinois, listening to him give one of his State of the Union addresses or acceptance address, one of them. I think it was a State of the Union, if I remember right. And he was talking about a city set on a hill and 1,000 points of light. And all. You remember the speech. It was a masterpiece of a speech. And in that speech, he started talking about the global economy and the global society. And now it's just commonplace. That's all you hear. That's all you hear. And Saul Alinsky's Rules for Radicals, which is the textbook that they're all using, it says that in order to get this progressive utopia to take place, that in this present world, you have to overwhelm the world so drastically that you collapse the world. You collapse the world system. That's what they're doing in Washington, D.C. with all this debt. It is unsustainable, folks. You know that. I know that. You cannot live with that kind of debt. You just cannot do it. And the whole idea, according to Alinsky, is that, and by the way, I think that this is what Obama is, and those Democrats down there are doing. I think this is exactly what they're doing. And I think that they're trying to collapse the system. And the theory is that once they collapse it, the radicals can then shape and mold the world and the country into whatever they want it to be. And I think it is amazing that you have these radical socialists in the world that are doing all they can to set the world on fire. You've got these blatant communists that are doing what they can to set the world on fire. You've got these unashamed progressives who are united under the umbrella of a better society through a 1,000 different agencies like Save the Whales and the Green Movement and Code Pink and the unions and everything else they've got their hands in all of it. And then you've got these Islamic extremists all over the Middle East who are all crying for revolution. Do you really think that all of this is happening over in the Middle East as a coincidence? Do you think it's just all circumstance? No, sir, my friend, no. It is not the progressives and the socialists and the communists and the Islamist extremists. They are all working diligently, striving, working together so that they can collapse the systems of the world. And I believe that all of it is under the guidance and the tutelage and the instruction and the blessing of the devil himself. And I guess my point is, this is not all just coincidence. I think that it is just another sign of the soon coming of our Lord. Now, consider that the world is ready for the Antichrist. Look at verse 9. Even him, the Antichrist, whose coming is after the what? Working. Folks, do you think that the devil, since the Garden of Eden, has just pulled him up a stump and he's been sitting on that stump just sitting around waiting? No, there is a spirit of Antichrist. And that spirit of Antichrist is captivating hearts and captivating minds. And it has created a mindset that is anti-God, anti-Bible. And it's what you see in communism and socialism and extreme Islam. It's what you see in this progressive movement. The devil has been busy. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. And with, you know, listen, I guess it's time to thin the herd a little bit. Hey, if that guy sitting down at the White House could perform miracles, you look at the following he's got now. Now, if he could heal somebody, or if he could raise somebody from the dead, if he could do some miracle, and it was put on national television, you can't tell me that this world would not bow down and lick the soles of his shoes. This guy is going to be able to do that. With all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause, not only is the devil going to deceive them, and for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion. It's almost like God says, all right, I gave you every chance. If this is what you want, then this is what you're going to get. And God is going to send them strong delusion. Why? So that they will believe the devil's lie. That's amazing, isn't it? Here's my point. The entire tribulation period is going to be characterized by deceit and dishonesty. Deceit and dishonesty. But folks, wait a minute. That is exactly one of the tenets of Islam. Deceit. It is in the Quran. Now, it'll say in one place that you're supposed to tell the truth. In 2:42, the Quran says, Muhammad said, and cover not truth with falsehood, nor conceal truth when you know what it is. But in Islam, it is the exceptions to the rule that ultimately become the rule itself. And when it comes to the matter of jihad, Muhammad said, you can lie. And you can deceive. And I'm telling you, folks, when I sit and watch Fox News and they put somebody on there who starts about peace and Islam is for peace, and we're just, you know, we just want to get along, and we want to love everybody, and we want to help everybody, and we want to build hospitals, and blah, blah, blah. When I sit there and watch that, I don't believe it for a minute. Because for jihad, you can lie. You say, well, how do you know that he's in jihad? Because he wouldn't be out there speaking if he wasn't. Now let me ask you a question. What is this jihad? It is how they are going to conquer the world. Amen. Now, question for you. What's the Christian way to conquer the world? Evangelism. What did Jesus say? He said, go into all the and preach the gospel. Now, it's a shame we didn't do that. It's really sad that we didn't do that. But again, you know, the devil didn't want us doing that, and he, you know, the Dark Ages and the whole Catholic Inquisition, all that stuff. I mean, you know, the devil, he hadn't been sitting on a stump. That's the point. He hadn't been sitting on a stump, biding time, waiting. He hadn't been sitting off on the sideline. When we want to fill the world with Christians, what do? We armload with tracts and New Testaments, and we go soul winning. But the Quran, Islam, how are they going to evangelize the world? Through war. Through killing innocent people. And so when you see these guys on TV and they got the smile and they, you know, there's a gal that she's on Hannity a lot, and he interviews her on the radio. I hear it when I'm going home at 4 o'clock. He's got her Bridget or something, but she is converted from Islam to Christianity. And you ought to hear what some of the things she says. Whew, mercy. I can't think of her last name, but Gabrielle. Yeah, Gabrielle, I think it is. Brigitte Gabrielle. And I heard her say one time, she said when they bring out the most dashing, the most beautiful, they bring out the sweetest, they bring out the kindest. And she said, don't listen to it. They're lying to you. Because they're in jihad. They're in jihad. You can lie for jihad. Evangelism in Islam is plainly put in one word. War. War. And that's that. It's all by design, folks. Muslims are taught in their eschatology that they will rule the world and bring the world into submission to Islam. In their minds, they already own America. And that's why they're moving into America in droves. They're buying up our land. They're buying up our businesses. They're building their mosques in every town. They are infiltrating our government. They're in our court system. They're buying property. They're faster than the papers can be drawn up. Now, you let the rapture of the church happen. And they, listen to me now, you let the rapture of the church happen. And they've already have their people in place to follow every command of this Mahdi, this Antichrist, where they will take over. It's set. You say, Pastor, that's scary. That's exciting. Because the stage is set. They through the oil rich nations of the Middle East, they have enough money to do whatever they wish to do with America, Great Britain, France, Germany, and the Soviet Union. Not a problem. And I'm saying the stage is set for the devil to implement his plan of lies and deception, and the stage is set for the devil to conquer the world. We're there. Like never before, we're that close. And I'm telling you, if the rapture happened tonight, and that wouldn't surprise me if it did, but if it happens tonight, everything's in place. And what the devil intends to do, that Jesus told on him and told what he was going to do, it could start up tomorrow. Everybody was worried to death that we were flying to Qatar. Everybody was scared to death. I went on the internet and I checked it out, looked at it. We got over there, world-class international airport, $400 or $500 a ticket. I didn't have a problem going to Qatar. We saved $500 per ticket going that direction. We got over in that airport, and a couple of us got bored sitting, so we went down to the duty-free shop and just walked around looking at all the stuff. And I noticed that everybody in there was either from the Philippines, Korea, Japan, or Indonesia. Everybody. I did not see one Qatari citizen, not one Middle Eastern Qatari citizen working in that airport. Not one. I walked the length and breadth looking for one Qatari citizen. Wasn't there. I went to the coffee shop to get some coffee. Guy standing there, and I said, "Where are you from?" He said, "Philippines." I said, "We're on our way to the Philippines." I said, "I got a big group. We're going to the Philippines." "Oh, yeah." I said, "Let me ask you a question, sir." He said, "What's that?" And I said, "What country are we in?" He looked at me. He said, "You're in Qatar." I said, "Do you pronounce it Qatar or Qatar?" He said, "Well, the world pronounces it Qatar, but the Qatarians pronounce it Qatar." He said, "The military calls it Qatar." And I said, "Well, I've heard both. I just wondered." I said, "Okay, that brings me to another question. Where are all the Qatarians?" And he smiled and he said, "They don't work." I said, "What?" He said, "There's 2 million of them live in Qatar and none of them work. The entire workforce for the country is flown in from foreign land." I said, "Well, if they don't work, how do they live?" He said, "Oil. And the government gives them all a house, gives them all automobiles, gives them free insurance, free medical care. They all have free education. They travel to the States and get their education." And he said, "They all get a stipend to live on." I said, "I look around this airport, I don't see a one anywhere." He said, "Nope." He said, "They're all by their pools and at the beach and playing golf." I thought, you know, if they can afford to take care of 2 million people, they certainly have enough money to buy up America, to buy up our where we have indebted ourselves with this housing crunch, and they're buying up houses and they're buying up businesses, and they're you think for a minute that this is not all a part of the devil's plan, you are mistaken. We are that close. Even so, come, Lord Jesus.